Now, Jill told us this morning that we are actually in the school of God. That we've got the Bible, we've got the church and many other things, and every day we have to learn something in our lives. So I would like to focus on this theme this morning as followers of Jesus. The spiritual cycle as the consequence of being a Christian. The spiritual cycle as the consequence of being a Christian. And I would like to just recall back again Mark 3 verse 14. He, Jesus, appointed 12, designated them to apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Dear friends, life is a cycle. Planets travel around the sun. There are 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and 52 weeks in a year. David describes this cycle of life beautifully in Psalms 19 when he says, "In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at the one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other." And then we know that there's a time for everything in our lives. And there's a season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born. And therefore we are waiting for this event that should take place this week or any time. But also a time to die. A time to plant. But also a time to uproot. But you know what? Our spiritual life is a cycle as well. Understanding this spiritual cycle will help us understand who we are, where are we at this point, and what has God in for us in his kingdom. In other words, what is our purpose in life? We have read that Jesus started his ministry by appointed 12 apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to do what? To preach. To have authority. Now the Greek word for apostle is apostolos, or also apostelou. And that means sent, or somebody who is sent out on a mission. In other words, an ambassador, a messenger. Now the Lord chose 12 ambassadors or 12 messengers to witness him before the world. And he also gave them authority to do the following: to drive the devils out, to heal the sick, and to do miracles in his name. We can actually sum it up by saying preaching, teaching, and healing. And if we think of that, that is also the task and the call of the church: to preach, to teach, and to heal. They had for sure a very tall order. Jesus himself called this apostles to his office. But after Jesus, there is no longer a continuity of the office of the apostles. It all ends up by the end of 100 after Christ. However, as followers of Jesus, we are also messengers. We are also being called to deliver a message in the world. Ambassadors to witness the Lord before the world and to bring the good news, the gospel of God's love to the world. Now from the life and the ministry of Jesus and his apostles, we can uncover as followers and ambassadors our own circle of spiritual life. Our spiritual life is the gymnasium where we exercise the rhythm, the cycle, the orderly pattern in order to fulfill our purpose and life and eternity. I was listening to the worship band this morning, and there was a rhythm. There was a way of playing the drums and the little organ and everything that you use this morning. There was an orderly. There was an harmony. And this is what it is all about. Now, in this gymnasium of spiritual cycle, we've got four exercises. Exercise one, spending time with Jesus. We've read in Mark chapter 3. And Jesus went on the mountain and called to him those who himself wanted. And what happened after this calling? They came to him. And then he appointed the 12 that he might send out and might have be with him. Now the first thing after the calling Jesus wanted from his apostles was what? Their time. The first thing that Jesus wants from his church and for us as his messengers in the world is our time. It is more concerned about your walk with him than your work with him. He would rather you hang out with him than burn you out for him. He is more interested in doing something great in you than you are doing something great for him. As Jesus and the disciples were on their way back from Samaria, he brought a visit to the home of Martha and Mary. And then we read there that they opened their home, and we could also say their hearts, to Jesus. And Martha immediately started with the preparations for the lunch. Mary, on the other hand, sat down with Jesus, enjoying his teachings and his conversation. Martha became so distracted by all the preparations that she went to Jesus and started blaming Jesus by saying, "Lord, don't you care? I am working like a slave while my sister is sitting the whole day with you. Tell her to come and help me." And then Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, you are so concerned of working for me. Like Mary, you must choose what is better. And the better choice is not working for me, but spending time with me." All work, dear friends, also our work in the ministry, will come to an end. But the time with Jesus will never be taken away. Thinking of it, also in eternity. Because in eternity, we will be with Jesus and with God all the time. Precious time. Somebody said, "We could be so busy with the things of the Lord that we easily forget the Lord of the things." And therefore, I would like to ask you this morning, we are so busy and we've got such programs and we are so committed to all the things we have to do. But I would like to ask you, when was the last time that you really spent time with Jesus? Not by reading very quickly Psalm 23 by the end of the day, but really spending time studying his word, reading the Bible, catching up what the Lord wants you to hear. When was the last time that you've been on your knees seeking the presence of the Lord in prayer? Not only a little prayer, "Jesus, please help me. I've got a little problem. Will you please solve it for me?" No. But really to be in the presence of the Lord, seeking his presence. When was the last time that you were singing songs in the bathroom and praying songs behind the steering wheel of your car, praising God for all the good things that he's doing in our lives? I can really assure you of this. You will never, but never be disappointed by making the right choice. David says also in Psalm 5, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." But there's a second activity in this exercise, and that is Learning through experience. As messengers for the Lord, there's a lot to do in the kingdom of God. However, even before Jesus sent out his followers, we read in between chapter 3 and 4 that he and 6 that he doesn't send them out until chapter 6. Many things happened between chapter 3 and chapter 6. Jesus encounters the evil, teaching parables, calms the storm, heals the demon-possessed man, raises a young girl from the dead, heals many sick people, and is rejected by his own hometown. These experiences were all invaluable to the disciples when they were sent out to do the ministry on their own. Many things to them were all new, fresh ground. And they couldn't always understand the story behind the story. But the time with Jesus was very important to them. And the experience with Jesus was a learning curve of asking why and how and what. We do not really understand the circle of life. In many cases, we have got no idea of why things, good or bad, are happening to us. All that we know and believe is that the Lord wants to teach us something, and that we have to learn from every situation and every event in our lives. We are in the divinity school of God, and we are in a learning process every day, every moment of the day. What is he trying to teach you? Perhaps, dear friends, you are going through tough times at this moment, and you see no light in the tunnel. It could be that you feel that you have come at the end of the road with regards to your work, or your relationship, or with regards to your health. You've got no hope. You've got no future, no happiness, and you cannot understand it. But just remember that even though this very tough times, it's a part of the learning curve in life, and that the Lord wants to teach you something very incredible. But in the third place, we must be on the job for Jesus. After spending valuable time with Jesus and experiencing incredible lessons had been learned, Jesus sent the apostles out into the world to be on the job for the kingdom of God. They have to put now into practice they have learned by experience. And then he gave them authority to do everything he had been doing himself. Thinking of this, everything Jesus had done. And then he commanded them not to make any provision for the journey. No money, no bag, no bread, only a staff. Now this staff is like a symbol God gave to them. And that was that they must really put all their trust in him. They must trust him on the way, in the work, what they are doing. And therefore, what are you doing in the kingdom of God? What does Jesus want you to do for him? Do you trust him with everything you are doing in your life? And be sure that he will, and believe that he will really provide in all your needs, in all your talents, and everything that you are doing for the Lord, that the Lord will provide. Remember, it is not by accident that you are where you are at the moment. It is not by accident doing what you are doing, or experiencing what you are experiencing in life. As the church and the followers of Jesus, we all have a task. We'll all have to work in God's kingdom, and we all have a purpose in life. What is your purpose? What is my purpose in life? We are only here for one purpose, and that is to glorify God, to praise his name, to give honor to him. He is our almighty living God and heavenly Father. And we do it by worshiping. We do it by singing songs, praying, coming to church. But we're also doing it by working for the Lord. In order to fulfill your call in the world, He wants you to use all your experiences and all your gifts and all your talents to serve others and to have mercy for those in need. He wants you to go and tell the world. God so loved the world that He gave His one and begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not be perished, but have eternal life. Are you ready to take up this call? To take up this task in the new world of God, in the kingdom of God? Are you willing to be a blessing to others, to the honor of His name? Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see the good things you are doing, and praise the Lord in heaven." And we're coming to the last step of this exercise, and that is, go back to step number one. Spending time with Jesus. The cycle of discipleship and fellowship of Jesus starts all over again. We read in verse 30 that then the apostles, after all the work and all the activities and all the things that Jesus and they've all done, that they came together, gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. At the end of the day, after a long and a busy program, the apostles gathered around Jesus and gave a feedback of a hard day's work. They reported to Him all the positive things and all the good things, but also the negative things and the bad things. All the successes, but also the disappointments. Because the kingdom of God is always a conflict between the light and the darkness, between the good things in life and the bad things in life. We know that Jesus, after a busy schedule, always prayed to His Father in heaven, telling God, thanking God and praising God. What a wonderful opportunity we have to be invited by the Lord at the end of each day, gathering around with Him, telling our stories. Stories of fear, stories of disappointment, stories of happiness, stories of good things, but also the sad things in life. How privileged we are to have a friend in Jesus. That we have not been, as Paul said, being anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we may present our requests to God, knowing that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus. Now, in order to fulfill your calling and to be an effective follower of Jesus, to be an effective congregation in the kingdom of God, we have to submit ourselves to this cycle systematically. And the question is, where are you in this cycle as follower of Jesus? Where do you need to be? If you're not sure, the best place to start is by spending time with Jesus. Dear Lord, thank You for the few minutes. Thank You for this hour, for spending time with You. But we know that You've got a job for us to do. That we have to go out and convey this message. That we must lend a helping hand. And that we have to do everything praising and glorifying Your name. Amen.